welcome on to NBA Recap. Today is Wednesday, March 30th, and we had five games on in the NBA last night, so let's get right into them. Starting off in Philadelphia, the 76ers were just edged by the Milwaukee Bucks, 118-116. In Washington, the Bulls beat the Wizards, 107-94. In Brooklyn, the Nets defeated the Pistons, 130-123. In Dallas, the Mavericks beat the Lakers, 128-110. And finally, in Los Angeles, the Clippers beat the Jazz, 121-115. So we'll break down all five of those games in just a moment, but first, if you'd like to follow the show on social, we are at NBA Recap Pod, or you can just search YouTube or smart speakers for NBA Recap Podcast. And if you enjoy the show, consider subscribing or leaving a review. It really helps get the word out. Alright, so starting off today in Philadelphia, where the 76ers were just edged by the Milwaukee Bucks, 118-116. And this game had huge implications on the top of the Eastern Conference playoff picture. With this win, the Bucks now go into second and banish the 76ers to fourth, and we'll get into that a little bit more later, but in this game, the Bucks were led by Giannis Antetokounmpo. He was actually questionable before the game, but he ended up playing, and he led the team in scoring by a long shot. He had 40 points and 14 rebounds, and he had a game-winning block on Joel Embiid in the final seconds of this game. James Harden absolutely bricked a three-point attempt, but Joel Embiid was able to slither his way into the lane and get the rebound, put it back up, but then Giannis comes in with the crazy block. It was actually called goaltending, but then they reviewed it and overturned the goaltending call, rightfully so. And so really good stuff for Giannis in this game, and then they also got 22 points from Chris Middleton and 18 from Jrue Holiday. Whereas the 76ers were led by James Harden, despite that bricked three-pointer at the end of the game, he was still really solid in this one. He had 32 points and 9 assists, including 4 three-pointers, and then they also got 29 and 14 from Joel Embiid, and 22 points and 11 rebounds from Tobias Harris. But yeah, this game came down to the wire. It was really exciting in the end. It was actually the 76ers who were leading, though, throughout the majority of the third quarter and a lot of the second as well. They had a dominant second quarter. They outscored the Bucks 37-24. They were actually trailing by 3 at the end of the first quarter, but then they just completely crushed the Bucks in that second quarter. So they were actually in command of the game at halftime. It was a 10-point advantage for the 76ers, and they actually expanded upon that lead a little bit further in the third quarter. But then by the end of the third, the Bucks started to make their comeback. And then in the fourth, they were dominant themselves, and they outscored the 76ers 37-27. And down the stretch, it was back and forth. There was clutch plays by both teams. George Niang knocked down a three-pointer with 2:15 left on the clock. The 76ers were down by 4, so that three-pointer cut it to 1. But then Giannis followed that up with a 21-foot pull-up jump shot, and then Tobias Harris got a tip shot with 1:29. But then there was two incredible back-to-back three-pointers. So first it was the Bucks, and specifically Jrue Holiday, with 1:20 left on the clock. He gave the Bucks a 4-point lead. It was 117-113 after a 27-foot bomb. But then Joel Embiid responded with a 3-pointer himself, this one with 49 seconds left on the clock, once again cutting that deficit to just 1. It was 116-117 at that point. So really clutch buckets from both teams down the stretch. And then ultimately, like I said, it was James Harden who had a chance to win the game with a three-pointer as the seconds were ticking off in the final possession of the game, but then he bricked it. But Joel Embiid was able to grab the rebound, put it up, and then Giannis comes up with the crazy block to save the game for the Bucks. And overall, I thought they were slightly better than the 76ers in this game, but it was really close. They had the edge in the interior, actually. They shot the ball more efficiently than the 76ers from the field, 50% versus 48% for Philly. And then they also had a big advantage in terms of the rebounding. They out-rebounded the 76ers 48-40. But with that being said, the 76ers were a little bit better on the perimeter as they shot better from three and they had less turnovers. So this was a close one to be sure, but the Bucks just got the victory in the end, and there was a lot of implications with this game. So with this win, the Bucks now improved to 47-28. So that is good for second now in the Eastern Conference, and they are half a game up on the Boston Celtics in third. All three of these teams, the Bucks, Celtics, and 76ers, were tied heading into tonight's action. But with this win, the Bucks are now in firmly in second, half a game up on the Celtics, and then one game up on the Philadelphia 76ers in fourth. And then the Bucks are half a game behind the Miami Heat in first. And they've got that plus 3.6 point differential, which is third best in the conference, and they're 7-3 in their last 10 games. So the Bucks peaking at just the right time, and perhaps it's no coincidence that they finally got their full complement of guys back in the rotation. Whereas the 76ers, with this loss, now fall to 46-29, so they're down in fourth now. They are half a game behind the Celtics in third, and 1.5 games off the top spot, the Miami Heat. And then they're 2.5 games up on the Bulls in fifth. The 76ers have a plus 2.1 point differential, which is about where they should be in the conference standings, but they are on a 2-game losing streak now. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score. And the Bucks were led, as I mentioned, by Giannis Antetokounmpo, a truly MVP-caliber performance for the two-time MVP. He had 40 points in 38 minutes. He was 16 of 24 from the field. He had 1 3-pointer. He was 7 of 10 from the free throw line. And he had 14 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal, 3 blocks. He did have 3 turnovers, but nonetheless, just incredible numbers throughout the box score for Giannis. And then they also got 22 points from Chris Middleton. He was 8 of 17 from the field. He had 3 threes, 9 rebounds, 7 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block. Really solid numbers throughout the box score for Middleton. And then they also got a double-double for Jrue Holiday. 18 points and 10 assists in 40 minutes. He was 7 of 16 from the field. He had 2 three-pointers, 8 rebounds, and 1 steal. He was actually plus 11 in the plus-minus, which was the team high. And then they got 17 points from Brook Lopez in 29 minutes in the starting lineup. He was not super efficient, 6 of 14 from the field, but 4 of his makes came from beyond the arc, and he had 3 rebounds, and that was actually it in terms of the box score. And then Wesley Matthews, rounding out the starting lineup, had 5 points and 3 rebounds in 25 minutes. And off the bench for the Bucks, they got 10 points from Grayson Allen. He was replaced by Matthews in the starting lineup, but he was pretty efficient off the bench, 3 of 5 from the field, 2 of 4 from beyond the arc, and he had 4 rebounds. And then they also got 3 points from Bobby Portis in 14 minutes, 2 points for Pat Connaughton, although he was just 1 of 5 from the field, and then 1 point from George Hill. And as for the 76ers, they were led, as I mentioned, by James Harden. He had 32 points in 37 minutes. He was 9 of 17 from the field, 4 of 10 from beyond the arc, and 10 of 12 from the free throw line. And he also had 5 rebounds and 9 assists. And then a big double-double for Joel Embiid, 29 points and 14 rebounds, and he was 11 of 21 from the field. He had 3 three-pointers, including that clutch one late, and then he also had 7 assists and 1 steal. So really solid numbers for Embiid as well. Not quite matching Giannis, his rival for MVP this season, so I think unfortunately for Embiid's sake, that MVP is slipping out of his grasp. I think at this point it's either going to be Giannis or Jokic. We shall see. But anyways, he still put up incredible numbers nonetheless. And then the 76ers also got a double-double from Tobias Harris, 22 points and 11 rebounds in 36 minutes. He was pretty efficient, 10 of 19 from the field, and he had 2 threes, 6 assists, and 3 steals. 7 points for Tyrese Maxey, the sophomore, but he was ice cold in this game, 3 of 11 from the field. He had 1 rebound and 6 assists. And Matisse Thybulle, rounding out the starting lineup, just had 2 points and 2 steals in 21 minutes. And off the bench for the 76ers, they got 9 points from Danny Green. He was 3 of 5 from beyond the arc in 23 minutes, and he had 4 rebounds as well. And then they got 9 points from George Niang also. He also had 3 three-pointers in 20 minutes, and then 6 points from Shake Milton in 16 minutes, and Paul Millsap saw the court briefly, but he did not score. All right, next up we can move on to Washington, where the Bulls defeated the Wizards 107-94. The Bulls were led by DeMar DeRozan. He had 32 points, and they also got 27 from Nikola Vucevic and 14 from Zach LaVine. Whereas the Wizards were led by Rui Hachimura. He had 21 points on an incredible 8 of 10 shooting. And then they also got 20 points from Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and 14 from Kristaps Porzingis and Denny Avdija off the bench. But unfortunately for the Wiz, they were just dominated in the fourth quarter in this game. It was really close up to that point. The Bulls held a slight lead throughout the majority of the second quarter. It got up to about 9 at one point, but then it was really back and forth throughout the third. But then the fourth was just all Chicago. They were dominant. They outscored the Wizards 32-21, and so ultimately they opened up a double-digit lead and never looked back. The Wizards just sort of fell apart there in that final stretch, and overall they shot the ball a little bit worse than the Bulls, 48% from the field, 23% from three. That really killed them, because the Bulls were 33% from three, and they were 50% from the field overall. The turnovers also killed the Wizards. They had 14 versus just 9 for the Bulls, and so the efficient three-point shooting and the clean ball handling really allowed the Bulls to dominate this game in the end, specifically the fourth quarter. And so with this victory, the Bulls now improved to 44-32. So like I said, they are in fifth right now in the Eastern Conference. Actually, only 2.5 games now behind the Philadelphia 76ers. I don't think they're going to be able to catch them, but it's actually a little bit closer than it had been with the Sixers losing and the Bulls winning. And then they're half a game up now on the Toronto Raptors in sixth. And the Bulls are plus 0.5 in the point differential, which is actually worse than several teams below them. They're only 4-6 in their last 10 games. And as for the Wizards, with this loss, they now fall to 32-43. So they're down in 12th in the East. They are 1.5 games behind the New York Knicks at this point in 11th. And then they're like I don't know, 7.5 games up on the Pacers in 13th. But the Wizards are 3-7 in their last 10 games. They've got a negative 3.3 point differential, so they are going nowhere fast. And technically, they're not eliminated from the playoffs mathematically just yet, but they're obviously not going to make it. So anyways, we can move on now to the box score. And the Bulls were led, as I mentioned, by DeMar DeRozan, his second 30-point game in a row. He had 32 in this one on 12 of 27 shooting. So it wasn't the most efficient game for DeRozan, but he was 1 of 2 from 3 and 7 of 7 from the free throw line. So he's always good for some efficient free throws. And he also had 7 rebounds, 4 assists, and 2 steals as well. And then they also got 27 points from Nikola Vucevic. He was really efficient, 12 of 19 from the field. And he also had 2 three-pointers, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. And then they got 14 points from Zach LaVine. He was only 4 of 10 from the field. He had 2 three-pointers as well, 4 rebounds, 1 assist. 4 points for the rookie Io Desumu in 27 minutes in the starting lineup. He had 6 assists. And then Alex Caruso rounding out the starting lineup. He has really been struggling to shoot the ball efficiently recently. He had just 2 points on 1 of 3 shooting in this game in 28 minutes. He had 3 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, though. And off the bench for the Bulls, they got 9 points from Kobe White in 29 minutes. He had 4 rebounds, 5 assists. He was plus 18 in the plus minus, which was by far the team high. And then they also got 9 points from Javonte Green. He was perfect, 4 of 4 from the field in 13 minutes. He had 2 rebounds, 2 steals. And then 6 points for Patrick Williams in 25 minutes. He had 7 rebounds and 4 points from Tristan Thompson, the backup big man. And as for the Wizards, they were led, as I mentioned, by Rui Hachimura. He had 21 points in 31 minutes. He was 8 of 10 from the field. He had 2 threes, 4 rebounds. And then they also got 20 points from Kentavious Caldwell-Pope in 32 minutes. He was 9 of 15 from the field, and he had 3 rebounds and 1 steal. He did have 4 turnovers, though. And then they got a double-double from Kristaps Porzingis. He had 14 points and 10 rebounds in 29 minutes. He was 6 of 14 from the field. He had 5 assists and 3 blocks. And then 10 points for Corey Kispert, the rookie. He was 3 of 10 from the field, 1 of 7 from 3. And 3 points for Tomas Satoransky in the starting lineup in 25 minutes. He was 1 of 4 from the field, but he did have 10 assists, 3 rebounds, 1 steal, and 1 block. And off the bench for the Wiz, they got 14 points from Denny Avdia in 29 minutes. He was 6 of 10 from the field, and he had 2 three-pointers, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block. So nice production from Avdia. And then they also got 8 points from Ish Smith. He was actually the team low in the plus-minus. He was negative 12, but he was 4 of 10 from the field. He had 2 rebounds, 4 assists, and 2 blocks. And then 2 points from Daniel Gafford. He was 1 of 5 from the field. And 2 points as well from Anthony Gill. All right, next up we can move on to Brooklyn, where the Nets got a rousing victory over the Detroit Pistons, 130-123. This game was a lot closer than you might have expected, considering the talent disparity and experience disparity between these two teams, but the Pistons were right in it until the very end. In fact, they were leading throughout the majority of the first half, but then the Nets got back into it in the third quarter, and then it was really back and forth throughout the end of the third, beginning of the fourth, and then they were able to just pull away in the very end of the fourth quarter, but the Pistons definitely gave him a run for their money, and they were led by the rookie Cade Cunningham. He tied his career high with 34 points in 32 minutes. He was 13 of 24 from the field. He had 5 three-pointers, and then they also got 15 and 11 from the sophomore big man Isaiah Stewart, and 15 points as well from Sadiq Bey. Whereas the Nets were led by Kevin Durant, he was incredible. 41 points on 14 of 23 shooting. He was 9 of 9 from the free throw line. So the efficiency just off the charts for Durant. And then they also got 14 and 13 from Andre Drummond and 24 points from Kyrie Irving. And then they also got a really clutch three-pointer from Seth Curry. It was with 2:36 left on the clock. And it was off of a Kyrie Irving assist, and it put the Nets up by 7, 122-115. But Cade Cunningham was just incredible down the stretch. He had also knocked down a three-pointer a couple of minutes before the Curry one, and then he hit an even more clutch three-pointer later in the game with just a minute to go. The Pistons were down by 10. It was 128-118, but he nailed a three, cut the deficit to 7. But unfortunately for the Pistons, they just could not cut the deficit any further than that. And the shooting was really solid for both teams. The Pistons were 48% from the field, 42% from three. The Nets, on the other hand, were 53% from three and 55% from the field overall. That's just absurd shooting, especially from beyond the arc. The only reason Brooklyn didn't dominate this game even more was the turnovers. They had 19, whereas the Pistons had 14. So it was a bit of a sloppy game from both teams, but the shooting was just incredible, and the Nets ultimately got the victory. And so with this win, they now improved to 40-36. So that that is good for eighth in the Eastern Conference, but they're now one game up on the Charlotte Hornets in ninth, and then they are 2.5 games behind the Cleveland Cavaliers in seventh. So it's going to be tough for the Nets to catch the Cavaliers by the end of the season, but it doesn't really matter that much because they're going to play the Cavs either way. It's just who gets home court advantage for that first game, and I think most people will probably be taking the Nets regardless of whether or not the game is in Cleveland. And the Nets are plus 0.4 in the point differential. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. And as for the Pistons, I said earlier it's unfortunate that they were edged in the end by the Nets, but really it's probably for the best for their franchise because they are now 20-56 with this loss, so keeping pace with the Orlando Magic and the Houston Rockets for worst record in the league. All three of those teams are at 20-56, and the Pistons are negative 7.8 in the point differential, which is also tied with the Magic for worst in the conference. They are 2-8 in their last 10 games. They're on a three-game losing streak now. All right, so we can move on now to the box score. And the Pistons were led, as I mentioned, by the rookie Cade Cunningham. He was fantastic, matching his season-high 34 points in 32 minutes. He was 13 of 24 from the field, 5 of 11 from 3, and 3 of 3 from the free throw line. He also had 1 rebound, 6 assists, and 2 steals. Now, he did have 4 turnovers. He was negative 12 in the plus-minus, but still, the production across the board, especially the shooting, those 5 three-pointers, is just incredible for Cade. And then they also got a double-double from Isaiah Stewart, the sophomore big man. He had 15 points and 11 rebounds in 31 minutes. He was only 6 of 14 from the field, though, but he did have 2 three-pointers, 2 assists, and 2 blocks. And then 15 points as well for Sadiq Bey. He was also not super efficient, 5 of 13 from the field, but he had 3 threes, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, and 1 steal. 11 points for Marvin Bagley, and he was very efficient, 5 of 6 from the field. He had 5 rebounds, 2 assists. And Corey Joseph rounding out the starting lineup had 5 points and 5 rebounds in 19 minutes. He was ice cold, 1 of 7 from the field. He had 2 assists and 1 steal as well. And off the bench for Detroit, they got 13 points from Killian Hayes, the other sophomore, the guard. He was 6 of 10 from the field, and he had 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 4 steals, and a block. Really solid numbers throughout the box score for Hayes. And then they also got 11 points from Frank Jackson. He was 5 of 10 from the field. 8 points for Kelly Olynyk in 17 minutes. He was 3 of 4 from the field, and he had 3 rebounds, 8 assists, and a steal. And then they also got 6 points for Rodney Magruder and 5 for Braxton Key. And as for the Brooklyn Nets, they were led, of course, by Kevin Durant. He was incredible. 41 points in 39 minutes. He was 14 of 23 from the field, 4 of 6 from beyond the arc, and 9 of 9 from the free throw line. And he also had 11 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, and 3 blocks. So pretty incredible numbers throughout the box score for Durant, especially that efficiency just off the charts. And then they also got 24 points from Kyrie Irving, now with the team permanently. He was only 7 of 18 from the field, but he was 4 of 8 from 3 and 6 of 6 from the free throw line. And then he also had 1 rebound, 4 assists, and 1 steal. This team is just so potent offensively with Irving and Durant knocking down three-pointers and free throws like crazy. Although, that being said, Irving did have 6 turnovers. And then they also got 15 points from Bruce Brown. He was on fire as well. 4 of 5 from the field, 3 of 3 from beyond the arc. And he had 2 rebounds, 4 assists. And then a double-double for Andre Drummond. 14 points and 13 rebounds. He was 5 of 7 from the field. And then 11 points for Seth Curry rounding out the starting lineup. He had 2 threes, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, and 2 steals. He was actually the team high in the plus-minus, plus 22. And off the bench for the Nets, they got 11 points from Nick Claxton, the backup big man. He was 4 of 5 from the field in 18 minutes, and he had 4 rebounds. They also got 9 points from Goran Dragic, the backup point guard. In 27 minutes, he was 4 of 7 from the field, and he had 6 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal. And then they got 3 points from Patty Mills in 17 minutes, and 2 points from James Johnson in 14 minutes. The rookie Kessler Edwards saw the court briefly, but he did not score. All right, next up we can move on to Dallas, where the Mavericks absolutely demolished the LA Lakers, 128-110. The Mavs were just incredible. They were led by Luka Doncic. He had 34 points, 12 rebounds, and 12 assists, leading the team in all three categories. And then they also got 17 from Reggie Bullock, and then double-digit scoring from several other guys, including 14 from Davis Bertans off the bench. Whereas the Lakers were playing without LeBron James, and so they were led by Malik Monk. He had 28 points in the starting lineup. He was actually on fire in this game, despite the Lakers' lackluster performance. He was 10 of 16 from the field, 6 of 10 from 3. And then they also got 25 points from Russell Westbrook, and 16 from Stanley Johnson. But other than that, the Lakers were really struggling in this game. The rookie Austin Reaves in the starting lineup was 1 of 6 from the field. Avery Bradley and Kent Bazemore off the bench were both 0 of 3. Carmelo Anthony was 2 of 7. It was just not good offensively for the Lakers or defensively. I mean, honestly, that might have been even worse. They allowed the Mavericks to score 82 points in the first half. It's the most points allowed in the first half by the Lakers since they moved to Los Angeles like 50 years ago, or even more than that, I think. And then it was the most points the Mavericks have ever scored in the first half. So just incredible domination from the Mavericks and incredible capitulation by the Lakers. They actually cut the deficit significantly in the fourth quarter, but it was pretty much complete garbage time at that point. So the scoreline doesn't quite indicate how much of a blowout this was. It was really ridiculous. At one point, the Mavericks in the third quarter led by as many as 37. So just complete annihilation. The Mavericks obviously were quite efficient from the field, 51% from 3, 43%, and they only had 8 turnovers, whereas the Lakers were only 44% from the field and 27% from 3. But hey, on the bright side, they only had 9 turnovers, so there's that. But yeah, pretty terrible game here for the Lakers. I thought maybe they'll show a little bit of fight with no LeBron James. They'll rally around Russell Westbrook, but nope, that was not the case whatsoever. They were terrible. And so with this loss, they now fall to 31-44. And this was a particularly egregious loss because they now fall out of the play-in game entirely. They have been surpassed by the San Antonio Spurs simply by losing this game. They are currently at the exact same record as the Spurs, but they have the tiebreaker. So the Lakers are now in 11th, eliminated from the play-in game completely. Obviously, down the stretch, they could retake that spot from the Spurs, but they're schedule is a lot more difficult than San Antonio's down the stretch. And honestly, regardless of that, the Lakers have just been so atrocious lately that I think they would probably stay in the 11th spot anyways. They are 4 games up on the Portland Trailblazers in 12th, and then there's still 1 game behind the Pelicans in 9th, so it's really close, but I do think it will remain this way. The Pelicans in 9th, the Spurs in 10th, and the Lakers in 11th. Their negative 3.0 point differential is actually about where they should be, finally, in the conference standings. They're on a 3-game losing streak. And as for the Mavericks, this win takes them to 47-29. So they are in 4th in the Western Conference, 1 game behind the Golden State Warriors in 3rd, and 2 games up on the Jazz in 5th. And the Mavs are plus 2.7 in the point differential, which is a little bit worse than a couple teams below them, but they're on a 2-game winning streak, and they're 7-3 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Lakers were led in this game by Malik Monk. He was actually incredible, 28 points in 32 minutes. In the starting lineup, he was 10 of 16 from the field, 6 of 10 from 3, and he also had 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block. And then they actually also got a pretty solid performance from Russell Westbrook in 32 minutes as well. He had 25 points. He was 9 of 17 from the field, only 1 of 5 from 3, but 6 of 6 from the free throw line, and he had 8 rebounds, 6 assists. Now, that being said, he was the team low in the plus-minus negative 25. But then they also got 16 points from Stanley Johnson, also in the starting lineup, in 35 minutes. He was 6 of 10 from the field, and he had 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. 3 points for the rookie Austin Reaves. He was 1 of 6 from the field in 17 minutes. He had 5 rebounds, 2 assists. And Dwight Howard rounding out the starting lineup. He only played 5 minutes before getting yanked out of this game by Frank Vogel. So unless there was an injury that I missed, he just opted not to put Dwight Howard back into the game after those first 5 minutes. He just had 1 rebound in that time, and that was it in the box score. And off the bench for the Lakers, they got 12 points from Talen Horton-Tucker in 17 minutes. He was 4 of 11 from the field. He had 1 assist, 2 steals. 8 points for Winyon Gabriel. He had 7 rebounds in 15 minutes. 8 points as well for the backup point guard, DJ Augustine. He was actually 3 of 4 from the field. And then they also got 6 points from Trevor Ariza. He was 0 of 4 from beyond the arc, but he did have 6 rebounds and 4 assists. And 4 points from Carmelo Anthony. Like I said, Avery Bradley and Kent Bazemore were both 0 of 3 from the field. And as for the Mavericks, they were led, as I mentioned, by Luka Doncic. In just 30 minutes, he had an incredible triple-double, 34 points, 12 rebounds, and 12 assists. He was 12 of 23 from the field, 4 of 12 from beyond the arc, and 6 of 7 from the free throw line. And he also had 1 steal. He was plus 21 in the plus-minus, which was the team high. Really just incredible performance once again from Luka Doncic. He is on the fringes of the MVP discussion. He's obviously not going to win it, but he is absolutely putting up MVP caliber numbers for what it's worth. And I could definitely see him winning it at some point in the near future. And then they also got 17 points from Reggie Bullock in 33 minutes. He was on fire. 6 of 9 from the field, 5 of 8 from 3. And then he had one rebound, one assist, two steals. 12 points for Dwight Powell, the big man. In 29 minutes, he was 6 of 9 from the field as well. He had 8 rebounds and 2 assists. And then also 12 points for Jalen Brunson, but he was much less efficient. He was only 3 of 12 from the field. He was 6 of 6 from the free throw line, though. He had 5 rebounds, 3 assists. And Dorian Finney-Smith rounding out the starting lineup at 8 points in 31 minutes. He had 2 3-pointers. And off the bench for the Mavs, because of all the garbage time, there was some nice contributions. They got 14 points from Davis Bertans in 15 minutes. He was 4 of 5 from the field, but all he took were 3-pointers. So he was on fire like Bullock in the starting lineup. He had 5 rebounds. And then they also got 13 points from Spencer Dinwiddie. He was 4 of 8 from the field. He had 2 threes, 3 rebounds, 6 assists. 12 points for Josh Green. He was 5 of 8 from the field, and he had 2 3-pointers as well. And then they got 5 points from Maxi Kleba. He had 7 rebounds, and just 1 point for Marquise Chris in 4 minutes. All right, and finally we can move on to Los Angeles, where the Clippers defeated the Jazz, 121-115. The Clips got Paul George back, and he led the team in scoring. He had 34 points and 6 assists. And they also got 21 from Reggie Jackson and 17 points off the bench from Luke Kennard. Whereas the Jazz were led by Donovan Mitchell, he had 33 points. And then they also got 19 points from Mike Conley and 17 from Jordan Clarkson off the bench. But this was a particularly devastating loss for the Jazz. Not only is it their fifth loss in a row, but they were leading throughout the majority of this game. They had a significant lead after dominating the Clippers in the first half, really. They outscored the Clips 32-14 in the first quarter. And then they maintained a pretty significant lead throughout the rest of the first half and even into the third quarter. They were leading by over 20 points. In fact, at one point it was 25 midway through the third quarter. So it was totally in control for the Jazz, but then they just fell apart down the stretch. They started to lose that lead at the end of the third quarter, but then it was really the fourth where they just totally capitulated. They were outscored by the Clippers 39-21 in that fourth quarter. Totally terrible loss here for the Jazz. Donovan Mitchell was doing his best to carry the team, but Paul George and Robert Covington and Isaiah Hartenstein were just too good in that fourth quarter. Ultimately, they took the lead with 3:24 left on the clock. It was their first lead of the game. They pulled ahead 110-109 off of a little 7-footer from Isaiah Hartenstein, and then Donovan Mitchell followed that up with a 2, but then Jordan Clarkson came right back, and then it was just back and forth for a couple of minutes there. Paul George hit one, and then Rudy Gobert responded again. Ultimately, though, it was Luke Kennard with perhaps the most clutch shot of the game off of a Paul George assist. It was about a minute to go in the game. The Clippers were down by 1, and he nailed a 3-pointer that put them up by 2, and they were able to hold on to that margin of victory until the end of the game and ultimately get the win. And late in the game, there was a gaffe by Donovan Mitchell. He was trying to inbound on the baseline, and he tried to call a timeout, but they didn't have any. And so that was a real boneheaded move by Mitchell, kind of encapsulated this capitulation by the Jazz. And ultimately, the Jazz shot the ball quite efficiently in this game. They were 55% from the field, 38% from the three. The Clippers were actually worse from the field. They were 49%, but 41% from beyond the arc. And that three-point shooting in the second half, specifically the fourth quarter, allowed them to get back into this game. And the turnovers from the Jazz also allowed the Clips back in. They had 15 turnovers. So, once again, a devastating loss for the Jazz. Like I said, they're fifth in a row, and a really encouraging win for the Clippers. You could not have possibly asked for a better return from Paul George. He looked fantastic. So we can just get to the standings. The Clippers, with this win, are now 37-39. So they're kind of a landmine team for one of these teams in the top of the Western Conference. Now with Paul George back, but especially if they get Kawhi Leonard back, but they don't even really need him to be a really dangerous team, especially in like the first round. They're probably going to remain in this eighth spot, or almost definitely, because there's a 6-game gap between them and the Timberwolves in 7th, and then there's a 4.5-game gap between them and the Pelicans in 9th. So the Clips almost certainly going to end up in the 8th spot, but they could potentially win that first playing game and get the 7th seed. They would certainly like to do that and be able to avoid the Suns in the first round, even though the Grizzlies are a formidable opponent as well. But still, the Clippers themselves are a formidable opponent. Their negative 1.6 point differential is worse than a couple teams below them, and they're only 3-7 in their last 10 games, but we'll see if they can build any momentum throughout these final couple of games of the regular season into the playoffs. And as for the Utah Jazz, this loss takes them to 45-31, so they now have the same record as the Nuggets. They are just ahead on via the tiebreaker, and then they're 2 games behind the Dallas Mavericks in 4th, and 2 games up on the Timberwolves in 7th. So I guess it's fair to say that they're probably not going to fall any further than 6th, We'll see if the Nuggets are able to pass them or not. I wouldn't be surprised considering how they're playing right now. But the Jazz just really falling apart here at the worst possible time heading into the playoffs. They've still got that plus 5.5 point differential, which is actually third best in the West, but they're on a five-game losing streak, like I said. They're 4-6 in their last 10 games. So if we move on to the box score, they were led in this game by Donovan Mitchell. He had 33 points in 36 minutes. He was 12 of 21 from the field, but 0 of 4 from beyond the arc. And he had 2 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal, 6 turnovers. That was just killing them. And then, of course, he had that gaffe at the very end of the game that helped seal the deal for the Clippers. And then they also got 19 points from Mike Conley. He was 7 of 13 from the field, 4 of 8 from beyond the arc. He had 2 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal. 13 points for Juancho Hernan Gomez, still in the starting lineup, in place of Bojan Bogdanović. He was 5 of 6 from the field and 3 of 4 from beyond the arc. He had 6 rebounds in this game. And then they got 9 points from Rudy Gobert. He had 16 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, and 3 blocks. Nice contributions throughout the box score for Gobert, but he was 1 of 6 from the free throw line. That is really frustrating, and he had 3 turnovers as well. And then Royce O'Neal, rounding out the starting lineup, had 5 points, 2 rebounds, and 4 assists in 34 minutes. And off the bench for the Jazz, they got 17 points from Jordan Clarkson, although he was also not super efficient. 6 of 15 from the field, 1 of 7 from 3, and 4 of 8 from the free throw line. As a team, the Jazz were 58% from the charity stripe. They were 17 of 29. And Clarkson had 2 rebounds, 5 assists. He was the team worst, negative 25 in the plus-minus. And then they also got 11 points from Rudy Gay. He was actually perfect. 4 of 4 from the field, 3 of 3 from beyond the arc. And he had 3 rebounds. And then they got 4 points from Greg Monroe, and 2 from Eric Paschal, 2 from Trent Forrest. And as for the Clippers, they were led by Paul George, his first game in like 3 months due to that elbow injury, and he looked completely rust-free. He was incredible. He actually started out a little bit slowly. I think he was like 0 of 3 to start the game, but he ended up 10 of 20 from the field, 6 of 9 from 3, and 8 of 11 from the free throw line for 34 points. And he also had 6 assists, 2 rebounds, 4 steals, and a block. And he was plus 15 in the plus-minus. He was actually the only starter to be positive in the plus-minus. He was playing a lot with the bench, and he was just dominant in this game. So, like I said, a fantastic return for Paul George. You really couldn't have asked for much more for the Clippers. And then they also got 21 points from Reggie Jackson. He was 8 of 24 from the field. He had 2 threes, 3 rebounds, 5 assists. 8 points for Ivica Zubac in 17 minutes only. He had 6 rebounds. 8 points as well for Nick Batum. He was 3 of 5 from the field in 22 minutes. He had 4 rebounds and 2 steals with 1 block. And then Marcus Morris, rounding out the starters, he was brutal in this game. 1 of 6 from the field. He had 3 points, 4 rebounds. But off the bench for the Clippers, they were the ones who were helping them get back into this game, and several of them had really impressive lines. So first, Luke Kennard had 17 points on 6 of 9 shooting, including 4 three-pointers, 3 rebounds. He was plus 22 in the plus-minus. And then you got 14 points from Isaiah Hartenstein. He was the team high, plus 25 in his 26 minutes. He was 5 of 7 from the field, and he had 7 rebounds, 6 assists, and a steal. And then 8 points for Robert Covington. He was 3 of 4 from the field. 8 points as well for Terrence Mann. He was also 3 of 4 from the field, and he had 3 assists and 2 rebounds. And then Amir Coffey, rounding out the bench, did not score. All right, and that will do it for our box score breakdown. So we can now move on to fantasy, the standout and surprising fantasy lines of the night. And we had a couple of really good options, despite only having the 5 games on in the league last night. We had Paul George going for 34 points. I was tempted to go with this one for surprising line of the night, just because it's out of nowhere after 3 months off. But it is Paul George at the end of the day, so we're not going to go with that one. You also had Giannis Antetokounmpo dropping. He was probably the closest omission for standout line. He had 40 points, 14 rebounds, 6 assists on 16 of 24 shooting. That was insane. And then you had a big triple-double from Luka Doncic, 34 points, 12 rebounds, 12 assists. You had 22 and 11 for Tobias Harris. You had Joel Embiid dropping 29 and 14. James Harden had 32. And then 18 and 10 for Jrue Holiday, 34 for Cade Cunningham. So plenty of good options to pick from. But ultimately, we're going to go with Kevin Durant. He was just incredible in the win over the Detroit Pistons. He had 41 points in 39 minutes. He was insanely efficient, 14 of 23 from the field, 9 of 9 from the free throw line, and 4 of 6 from beyond the arc. And then he also had 11 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, and 3 blocks. You really couldn't ask for much more from Kevin Durant. He had 4 combined steals and blocks, 16 combined rebounds and assists, and then, of course, the 41 points on very high efficiency, the 4 three-pointers, the perfect 9 of 9 from the free throw line. Just really fantastic line for Kevin Durant. He is unquestionably your standout line of the night. And as for surprising line of the night, it was a pretty easy pick. We're going with Malik Monk for the LA Lakers, despite the fact that this came in a really devastating loss. He was really solid nonetheless. He had 28 points in 32 minutes. He was extremely efficient. 10 of 16 from the field, 6 of 10 from 3, and 2 of 2 from the free throw line. He had 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block as well, and only 1 turnover. So really a fantastic line across the board for Monk. He's never really been much of an assist or a rebound guy, but the steal and the block is nice. Only 1 turnover, you like that as well. And then the obviously the efficiency is what won him this award. 10 of 16 from the field and the 6 three-pointers. Just incredible stuff for Monk. So he is your surprising line of the night, and Kevin Durant is your standout line of the night. All right, and with that, we can move on now to our preview for tonight, Wednesday, March the 30th. And we've got a whole bunch of games on in the NBA today. Starting off in Washington, the Wizards are taking on the Orlando Magic, and the Wiz are -4. In Indiana, the Pacers face the Denver Nuggets, and the Nuggets are -9.5. In Cleveland, the Cavaliers take on the Dallas Mavericks, and the Mavs are -4.5. In New York, the Knicks are taking on the Charlotte Hornets, and the Hornets are -2. In Boston, the Celtics face the Miami Heat, and the Celtics are -4.5. In Toronto, the Raptors are taking on the Minnesota Timberwolves, and the Raps are -3. In Oklahoma City, the Thunder face the Atlanta Hawks, and the Hawks are big favorites, -12.5. In Houston, the Rockets take on the Sacramento Kings, and the Kings are -2.5. In San Antonio, the Spurs are taking on the Memphis Grizzlies, and the Grizz are -5.5. In San Francisco, the Warriors take on the Phoenix Suns, and the Suns are -6. And finally, in Portland, the Trailblazers are taking on the New Orleans Pelicans, and the Pels are -13.5. All right, so a couple of interesting games here tonight, and a couple of less interesting ones, shall we say. Not exactly going to be tuning into the Kings-Rockets or the Wizards-Magic game, but with that being said, there's a couple of interesting ones. So I am intrigued to be sure by, where was it? Okay, the Heat taking on the Boston Celtics, and the Celtics are -4.5. Now, this was an interesting one to me because the Celtics rested all of their key guys in that last game, and of course they're still missing Robert Williams due to that injury. So will the Celtics be able to snap back into their incredible form down the stretch here without their defensive talisman in the center? I would guess yes, especially right now and early in the playoffs. It's just later in the playoffs against the top-tier teams when they're really going to need him, but thankfully he should be back by then, or at least that's the plan. So we'll see how that all unfolds. But for this game, for the Heat-Celtics, I'm going to stay away ultimately from a betting perspective. I think that line is just about right. Celtics -4.5. I was also a little bit intrigued by the Timberwolves taking on the Toronto Raptors. These are two teams that are sort of similar to each other in the East and West. The Raptors are in sixth in the East, and they're 8-2 in their last 10 games, whereas the Timberwolves, their hot streak has kind of come to an end. They're only 6-4 in their last 10. They were on fire there for a little while, a couple of weeks ago, but they're in seventh in the West. They've got a +3.2 point differential, so I was frankly tempted to go with the Timberwolves, but I just cannot in good conscience bet against the Raptors right now. They're playing too good, and -3 is definitely a coverable line. So I think I'm ultimately going to stay away from that one, but it's an interesting matchup nonetheless. Ultimately, we've just got one best bet for today, and it's another one of these big matchups, and frankly, I just don't understand this line. The Phoenix Suns are -6 in San Francisco against the Warriors. That doesn't seem high enough to me. The Suns have just been so consistent, so good, so dominant all season long, and that has not let up in the slightest recently. They're on an 8-game winning streak, the best of any team in the league. They're 9-1 in their last 10. They've got, obviously, the league-leading point differential, +8.4. They are just totally dominant at the moment, especially with Chris Paul back. Whereas the Warriors, quite the opposite. They're on a 3-game losing streak right now. They're 4-6 in their last 10, and they are down in third. They're at risk of being caught by the Dallas Mavericks in fourth. They're only 1 game back of the Warriors at this point. So I guess you could say that those streaks, they're bound to be snapped at some point. The Suns are they've got to lose one at some point, and then the Warriors have to snap out of this losing streak that they're on. So will this be the game that that happens? Maybe. But honestly, well, I'm just going to go with what seems like an obvious choice. The Suns are just playing much better than the Warriors at the moment. Golden State, they look really bad without Steph Curry, and he's not going to be returning for this game either. So I'm pretty comfortably going to take the Phoenix Suns minus six in San Francisco. Maybe Vegas knows something that I don't know, but that seems like an obvious pick to me. So we're going to take the Suns minus six in San Francisco, and that's going to be our only best bet for today. And so that will do it. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you'd like to follow the show on social, we are at NBA Recap Pod, or you can just search YouTube or smart speakers for NBA Recap Podcast. If you enjoy the show, consider subscribing or leaving a review, and we'll be back tomorrow to recap all of those games and to preview the action for Thursday, March the 31st. So until then, thanks for tuning in.